columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Nick Ferguson, Tyler Columbus, and D-Man.
You know, it's a few days past the holiday, but we can celebrate Festivus anytime we want. And I hear there needs to be some airing of the grievances. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, D-Mac.
Tyler, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Great to see you.
And Zach Bye hanging around. Now, you know, I was listening to most of the Zulkley show starring James Marilat, but I guess I missed in transition while trying to get my dapperness on some sort of beef that came up between Zach, you, and Tyler.
So it's funny you bring that up because I did not hear it either. And all of a sudden, Zach pops up in the hallway and he's like, hey, you hear the beef I started, man? Like, hey,
I did not say that.
You hear what I said about you, bro? Let's talk about this.
All right. So, Zach, thanks for hanging around. What you got?
Yeah, first of all, can you guys hear me right?
Yeah, we got you.
Sounds well. Hey, do this with the mic. Tilt it up a little bit because I think it's a little...
Check.
Yeah, right, that's a little better.
Yeah, better.
All right. I hate to beat up Tyler for the second time in a week.
Wow. Wow. Double down on
like,
it.
I mean, you know, like
the jokes write themselves here. I mean, this is like a now until eternity type of thing. You know, I get it.
No, I almost steered my car off the road yesterday because I heard you say you guys were reacting to an article about a breakout star in 2020. Drew Locke was somebody's pick. I forget who it was, former safety, I think. And you said that you were kind of like, you know, what have you seen from Drew Locke that would lead you to believe that he could be a breakout star?
Yeah, I did say that. You're right.
Yeah, and we did you right. We played the audio of the conversation so we didn't like mischaracterize what you were saying. And I actually understood, I think, what you were trying to say, but here's my quick take. If you can't be excited or have real expectations for Drew Locke after his first five ever NFL football games, I would challenge you to find someone else not named Patrick Mahomes' first five football games, and you need to get your pulse checked. And my quick synopsis of why, and we spent 25 minutes on this, we won't do that here, but my quick synopsis was, first of all, this was a guy who didn't practice with the football team all year. Even in his first start, they wouldn't give him full-time reps in practice. Mm-hmm. He was suppressed, whether it was verbally or actual physical action, from not being pulled off IR, not practicing when he was eligible, from really start to finish. So with no head start at all, in fact, he was far after the starting gun was fired, for him to show up and do what he did in those five games was, I called it braille, because you felt it. The eye test, it popped off the page. He's been the seventh quarterback to start since Peyton Manning. Which one of these things from a raw talent standpoint is not like the other? Is Drew Locke, live arm, throwing touchdown passes, pushing the ball down the field. You can look at the completion percentage, the touchdown to interception ratio, the yards per game, the QBR, and then the most important number, winning football games. He came in at 3-8. The Denver Broncos were in the fast lane for a double-digit loss season. They were 3-8. They won 4 or 5 games. The Denver Broncos have not won 4 or 5 games in any portion of their schedule since they started 4-0 in the 2016 season. So you have the eye test, check. Winning games, check. And then when I went back and looked at the numbers, now I know the sample size isn't appropriate. It's just 5 games. I know that's not appropriate. But it's not 1 game. It's not 2 games. It's nearly 1/3 of an NFL season. And the 5 games are the only games I have to work with.
What's the beef, though?
Are you done now?
No.
Are you done yet?
No.
I thought you said this wasn't going to take 25 minutes.
Hold on.
I'm just curious what the beef is.
Give me 60 more seconds.
Yeah,
so, eye test.
We got about 50 minutes left.
Eye test, check. Winning games, check. Late start, despite of all that, check. A completion percentage that was higher than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers last year. a touchdown to interception ratio that was higher than former MVP Matt Ryan and future Hall of Famer Phillip Rivers. Yards per game that was higher than the reigning MVP Lamar Jackson and another promising young quarterback, Josh Allen, that had his team in the playoffs. And a QBR that was higher than number one overall pick Kyler Murray and better than Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, and a host of others. If we can't be reasonably excited about a potential breakout season in 2020, then what can we be excited about?
What should I start with?
I don't know. I don't
know. Pick.
Which one should I start with?
I mean, I understand the reasons to be excited for Drew Lock, but I'm still like, what's the beef that Tyler wasn't excited enough?
No, that he said, what have we seen? The quote was, what have we seen
the
from Drew Lock
of the article
to be
the
excited
context
about?
That we would think he'd be a breakout star.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
That's the crux of
the context of the article was putting them in the category of a breakout star like Patrick Mahomes, like Lamar Jackson. That was the context of the article. If you think that you've seen that, I would say check your pulse. Listen, the reality is we saw one good football game that was like tremendous. And I like Drew Lock. I'm excited about Drew Lock. He's got incredible potential. But guess what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping he's average. Like if he's average.
Oh, that was a comment. That's right. I remember now.
If he's average,
and we played that.
I'll be like, fantastic, man. Like you
got me by surprise.
You got us to 8 or 9 wins if you're average. If you're better than average, okay, we're a playoff football team for sure. The reality is we've seen one extremely good football game and four others that it was enough to be encouraged, right? So I'm encouraged. I want to see what he can do.
Well, I think the big problem is
I'm definitely not putting him in Patrick Mahomes' breakout star category.
Here's the way I look at that article. I view, you know, this being a potential breakout year for Drew Lock because looking at the two quarterbacks you're talking about, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Those two guys didn't really do a whole heck of a lot in their first start, right? And we look at what Drew Lock did. Is it a large sample size that would tell us that he can potentially have a breakout season? I say yes, because once again, the upside is there. And that's what you look at for a breakout season. And compared to what we saw in that 5-game sample size, can he get better? Right. Can he do better? I say yes.
All right, but maybe we should define what a breakout season actually means.
Okay,
then. Let's
do
so
that.
So maybe that's where
where we're hung up because we're all excited about Drew Lock.
Right. What do you see as a breakout? Well, first of all, the story was the breakout season was Patrick Mahomes and then Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So that's a pretty high bar that's a breakout season.
And then was the context of breakout for me. That's what I'm referring to.
I mean, we're talking about Pro Bowl, playoff, one of the top five guys in your conference.
Yeah.
You see that with Drew Lock?
Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
Now redo
the entire argument.
I am not crowning Drew Lock saying that he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. There's only one of those. I'm not crowning him to say he's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's the reigning MVP.
Those are anomalies.
But I think it is reasonable.
Those were the context of the article.
Well, okay.
That is what we were talking about.
Let me answer your question. You said, okay. what does the framework look like of a breakout season? For me, Drew Lock throwing for 3,800 yards, having a better than 2-to-1 interception ratio.
That's the biggest one for me as well.
And me too, because yards, they're like popcorn. They can be bigger, but the substance sometimes is seriously lacking. The touchdown to interception ratio being better than 2-to-1 and being a part of a 10-win football team and averaging 4 to 5 points more per game.
So I'll be honest.
Do you think that's going to happen?
No, I think it could. In his first 5 football games ever.
You're such a cop-ass.
I'm predicting that. In his first 5 football games after the start, didn't practice with the team. They showed up, they averaged 22 points a game. And you can say, well, the defense scored a touchdown against the Texans, and that's an inflated thing. Well, I can look at the KC game and say they scored 3 points in a freaking blizzard. So take away the top score, take away the bottom score. I know that it had been over a calendar year since the Broncos scored more than 24 points a game. This kid's first game, he shows up and scores 23 against the Chargers, 38 against the Texans, 27 against the Lions. What we saw was grade A. Is it sustainable? I absolutely think it is. With a full offseason, a full installment, they split snaps went Brandon Allen the week he started. They didn't announce him as the starter until Friday afternoon. You gotta be kidding me. Of course Drew Lock is gonna go do this next year.
Yes!
Exactly. Yes! Oh, I love it! Yes!
We're winning the Super Bowl!
No, you're not going that far. Well, I'm not going that far.
You learned your lesson last year.
Yeah, I sure did. I'm with you on Drew Lock with everything that we saw. Right? Pat Sherman's going to come in here. They're going to take more shots down the field. You see my guy right there, Henry Ruggs III. The Broncos should go take a wide receiver with number 15 pick. Now we're talking about getting Drew Lock and allowing him to do his thing.
And here's the best part. If this, you know, you aim for the stars and you might hit the moon on the way down type stuff.
I'm getting the chills.
I'm not getting thrown out of the bar for building this argument, because we actually saw it. For the first time in years, we actually saw real flashes, but there's difference between sustained light and flashes. Flashes come and go. It's time to see if we can sustain it over 16 games. Tyler, we are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what?
Zach, what are you doing?
You know what? Unaffiliated, unbiased, non-orange and blue glasses on 104.3 The Fan. We are unbiased.
Yes, Zach. That's what I'm talking about.
I love too, because on Zach's Bebop, Big Bar of Possibilities, Zach's going all out, baby. It's CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy or Jalen Reagor, who you may be able to get in the second round.
I think you may. Either him or Chenault look like they might fall to the top of the second round.
Yes.
Pat Shurmur likes to run three wide receiver offense. Could you imagine? Let me just paint a picture for you. Cortland Sutton, Henry Ruggs, Rashard Perryman.
You're out.
The dogs are off the leash.
I love it.
Track team. All right. It's a relay.
Thank you, Zach.
Good stuff, guys. Thanks.
See you, brother.
Yes. Oh, Zach was enthusiastic. God. I love it.
Hey, can I have the final hour of your show tomorrow?
Absolutely. Well, great. I hope that is, I mean, who's against that? Hey. That would be wonderful.
Listen, Zach just planted his flag in the dirt.
There's
the
new Nick Ferguson on 104.3 The Fan, baby.
I like
that. Oh, there's the new Nick Ferguson on 104.3 The Fan.
High five. Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
My God.
How do we follow that up for the next 3.5 hours?
I don't know. We should just go home. We can replay the Zach show. That'd be fine. You know, I smell another board with Zach with all those promises about Drew Lock, right? we have another, hey, what's the Hobby Lobby Studios? Can we come out with another board? Zach, come on, man, get in the mix. Zach should put up his Drew Lock board.
So would it be the number of achievements for Drew Lock in 2020?
Well, is he going to have that kind of breakout season? Okay, and what does that look like? So if it's Drew Lock breakout season, it's 2-1. Touchdowns, interceptions.
Well, he said better than 2-1. 2-1 is phenomenal, by the way. The best quarterbacks in the league are 2-1.
3,800 yards, 10
wins.
So
he actually thinks it's going to be better than the best quarterbacks in the league. But that,
I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
That's Patrick Mahomes' ass, baby. Let's go.
Spring training. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I thought when I put the full context of the article like out there so he really understood it, I thought he might back down just a little bit.
All right, because the two examples were Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
I mean, sorry for not anointing him Patrick Mahomes.
Right, back-to-back MVPs.
My bad, yo.
Right. How silly of you. I want to recognize the morning show.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
I figured them out.
The mate was a mighty sailor.
I figured it out. They are Gilligan's Island.
Oh!
Well, think about it a little bit. They want to be out by themselves. They don't pay attention to, like, other stuff. They want to, you know, like, weather reports. You know, they're on the minnow by themselves. They're happy to be by themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought of it. Mike is Gilligan. Kind of goofy and clueless, but you like him.
Oh!
And then the skipper is Mark. Look at him.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
You know, kind of big and goofy and...
So who's the Huff?
And, well, the captain, the skipper's like,
like in charge, but still, yeah. He still got him lost.
It really is like
he's still.
I don't know how we got here.
He's right. He still got him lost.
Yeah.
And
I can't get you home either.
DeHuff is Thurston Howell because he just makes a lot of goofy names, goofy voices.
Yeah, right.
And he, you know, he doesn't even know what he's doing. Like, who knows why he's even there in the first place? And Millennial Ben is the professor. On the surface, he looks smart and he's clever, but he can't figure how to get him off the island.
Who's Marianne?
I don't think they have a Marianne.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Kendall gets to be Marianne and Ginger for everybody, you know, but we gotta work on that in terms of the station. But they are Gilligan's Isle, and I want to welcome them to the mainland. We're the mainland, and they're on the island.
Yeah.
But they decided to join our Free Agent Fever board. So I give them credits for it.
They sort of want to be like annexed in.
Right. They want to. It's their strategy is fun. They want to not really draft anybody and pick up two free agents. And they think that that's basically the answer. Hmm. So we have, of course, James Marilat. We love to have James Marilat. And as you can see, Richie has done a spectacular job listing all of James Marilat's Free Agent Fever picks. And now Stink and Mike are there, too. Isn't that great? Now, they only have 2 out of 5 picks. I did have to tell them in a tweet this morning, in general, free agency,
there's usually more guys.
Yeah, it's usually more than 2. They were a little lost.
Listen, hold on. In defense, Jeff Breidich would agree that when it's day 2, and
right.
Like yesterday was day 1,
right.
It takes a long time to get to 5 draft picks.
Right, right. We don't want to expose their brains or anything. So,
yeah.
And they did a wonderful job with their art and
Arts and Crafts
is that
project.
Art? Is that art?
They did. They had a weird inkling to put up basically naked guys.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing.
No, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not an ounce of clothing in any of those pictures.
But Tyler?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. So?
But there's no clothing.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
And somehow Tom Brady's face ends up on the board. For what reason?
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But it's good to see. Now, this is funny. Mike's biggest priority is a guard in free agency. A good guard.
I agree.
Right.
I would love to have him.
Yeah, didn't you put him up there? I'm looking for you.
He was on my one of my plans. I had a plan that involved him.
He's not part of your free agency.
We got a lot of plans.
Well, you do. You got a lot of things going on in preseason.
I definitely
had to sign Joe Thuney.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Brandon Scherff.
Yeah.
You know, one or the other. And then.
So you looked at my plan.
And then you didn't put them up on your free agent fever board for.
Right. I mean, because, like, that's one plan, and then this was another, like, plan.
They don't go together?
You got to have other plans in case the plan doesn't work.
Oh, okay. They could work together, though.
Oh.
They could just.
Well, it's just sort of like your, Joe Burrow floater.
Joe Burrow's a floater.
Philosophy.
That's right.
Right.
He's
yeah, they're my floaters.
Right.
Yes.
They're your floaters. All right.
See the can of worms you open up?
And then Mike wanted a linebacker, Joe, whatever someone, I can't even read it. See, the part of the problem with their board is who can actually read this stuff. And then Mark, hey, it was cute. Mark tried to participate, and he picked up Jack Conklin. It was funny to hear him say
that's a really good right tackle in the NFL. That's,
yeah. And Mark said, I want Jack Conklin, but of course, there's no way Jack Conklin's ever going to be available. They're never going to let him go.
Oh, well.
So you put a dude up there that you don't think is going to be available, but you think it'll be a great pickup for the Broncos.
You dudes don't know what to be here.
That's what Mark did. And Mark, of course, has a freshman going to Texas A&M.
How much are we paying our current right tackle?
Well, the most we've ever paid a right tackle ever in the history. And that follows right tackle busts like Michael Schofield. Well, who was a draft pick? But who do we have? We had the dude that got engaged to his girlfriend. Menelik Watson, who admitted his technique was terrible while he was actually playing a game. Then we had Valdir, who I think was tall.
Old.
And
he did a pretty deep, he was the best of the bunch,
But he lasted a year.
He was by far the best of the bunch.
Who else do we have? Oh, man. Donald Stevenson.
Donald Stevenson.
He worked out great.
And now we have Juwan James. And Mark actually wants to literally go back to the same exact well and pick up a free agent tackle, even though we've paid all that money to a right tackle already. So what are we doing with that money? We're just, oh, I know what Mark said. Mark now wants Juwan James to battle it out with Garrett Bowles.
Oh.
Right. And then he said to just draft an offensive lineman. And, of course, you know how they work. You know what offensive lineman they want.
The best one.
The best one.
Yeah.
And if they can't get the best one, who do they want?
The next one.
They want the second best one.
The second best one.
Yeah.
So, hey, it was so cute. They were putting it together. And so, way to go. I'm glad they're part of things. They're still on their island. You know, they that's just where they are. They're Gilligan's Island. So the skipper and Gilligan and Thurston Howell and the professor.
And Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, and Aaron Donald.
Yeah, not wearing any clothes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. So way to go, guys. It's cool. Nice job. And we're great to have you part of Free Agent Feet. Eventually, we got to just take it slow. That, you know, free agency and the draft work together. They'll understand that at some point.
I'm just happy to have them involved.
Oh, me too. Me too. I mean, they were invited repeatedly, and so it's great that they want to participate. You know, maybe they'll even come up with an idea all on their own about drafting offense and paying defense, which would be a singular,
unique.
I mean, it would be an idea.
What are you doing there?
Well,
what are you doing there? You want to talk about what you're doing there?
Yeah, no. It's just when you have...
You want to talk about what you're doing there?
You have such an original idea. It's great when you put it out there to the masses that this was your idea and your idea only. So I think that's wonderful.
It was a very unspecific idea that people like.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm happy that everybody is getting along, and isn't it fun? I don't understand the pictures of the naked guys. That's
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I can't stop looking at it, though.
what portion of it?
All of it.
It's amazing because they put two guys on there who look very muscular and have abs, and I don't think either Mike Evans or Slurry have abs. They may have
not that there's
abs.
Anything wrong with that.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I will I will have Mike's back on that one, Nick. Abs are highly overrated. When we come back to the water cooler, what is 157 pounds of weed? Something to explore next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
What would you say you do here?
Well, fellas, and we'll have James Merrillat in just a little bit. We'll get on to the CU news of the day. Maybe not great news for the Buffaloes, but we'll get to it. Did you guys hear about this Greg Robinson and Jaquan Bray? I'm not familiar with Jaquan Bray. But
well, he was a
Auburn guy.
Journeyman, NFL, CFL.
Okay.
Nick Ferguson, Tyler Plumbus type.
All right. Greg Robinson was, I mean, was he playing or am I missing something? Or?
Oh, he was the starting left tackle for the Browns this year.
Starting left tackle.
Yes.
And the team wasn't too high on him. That's why they decided they were not going to bring him back, even though he's a free agent.
But he was the starting left tackle this year.
How many years has he been in the NFL?
I'm guessing 8-ish. He was the number one overall pick.
8 years in the NFL?
Yeah, made probably, man, I don't know.
I'm totally guessing here,
but I bet he's made close to $35 to $40 million.
Okay. The details of this is the devil's in the details, where He and Bray got busted carrying 157 pounds of marijuana.
What? 100 what?
157 pounds.
Like,
of marijuana inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area.
Like a Steven the producer, like type of 157?
It's 157 pounds, however you want to add it up.
Huh.
Now, here's the details to me are. I mean, it's a sad story and comical at the same time. So Robinson rents a vehicle in L.A. on Sunday. He arranged for a third individual in the vehicle, an Uber driver he had met in 2018 to drive him and Bray to Louisiana. When the trio reached El Paso, Robinson instructed Bray to begin driving. According to the complaint, when they approached secondary inspection, Robinson asked the third individual, you know, the Uber driver, to claim the marijuana, and that Robinson said he would pay the third individual to do so.
Hey, bro, go to jail for 20 years. I got you, bro.
The Uber driver refused and told Robinson he would not have driven with them had he known there was 157 pounds of marijuana in the vehicle.
Hold on, something smelled fishy. You can't smell 157 pounds of marijuana.
Well, the dogs did, definitely.
I'm trying to figure out, like, why the third person got involved here, why they thought they needed an Uber driver. And right. How random was that you just had met an Uber driver, struck up a relationship, and you asked him to come on the trip? Do you think it was just because... You didn't want to drive? You and your buddy, you thought you might sleep a little bit?
Well,
as you were...
rich people don't like to drive to get their own narcotics.
They could face 20 years in prison. Here's what kind of just... I mean, had these guys just been watching too many episodes of Narcos on Netflix?
I'm going to be honest. I just watched it. It's highly addictive. And yeah, I think that they just turned into... cartel.
I don't even think it's Narcos. It's too much of watching old Al Pacino gangster movies, thinking that somehow you'll be able to traffic that amount of drugs.
Where do you
back
get
across
157 pounds of marijuana?
Mexico.
Well, you know.
Apparently got somewhere in Mexico.
No, but who do you have to know to get 157 pounds of marijuana?
You got
to
have a connect.
No, like, that's not a connect. That's like the guy.
Yeah, it's a
that's
good
like,
question.
That's like not the little guy on the totem pole.
Here's what probably screwed him up too. The second checkpoint. So they passed a Border Patrol agent with a drug sniffing dog. They go through, but the dog detects something. They just radio ahead for the second checkpoint. We all watch, when we watch Narcos, we never see the second checkpoint, do we?
No.
We always just see him, you know, get past the border and, you know, that's it.
That was a quick one.
Right.
Excuse me, we have a car with three suspects. And can you pull it over to the side and do a more drastic search?
The second checkpoint? 83 miles.
What?
83 miles from the border. That's like a good hour and a half that you think you're okay.
Jeez.
And then here's the horror show is the second checkpoint.
The disappointing part of this, here is Greg Robinson and his 6th year in the league, and over a 4-year period, they're saying he made maybe about $21 million. So what would make a guy who is going to be a free agent 2020, just kind of weeks away from it, decide that he's going to take his buddy from Auburn and rope him into this whole thing and say, listen, we're going to go and we're going to traffic all of this marijuana.
I'm going to be honest. Equally as disappointing as all those poor decisions is the fact that he was an offensive tackle and he's this dumb. How the heck is he going to bring all of us down like that? How could you possibly be this dumb to bring 157 pounds of marijuana? What are you doing?
Well, as
what are you doing?
Darren Ravel, who is the dude, the cowboy guy?
Oh, Nate Newton.
Nate Newton. Not to be outdone, Nate Newton got busted with 200 pounds of marijuana and then like 190. He got busted
two times.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice. So I don't know what kind of jail time they're going to do. His NFL career is certainly over.
Aren't they talking about 20 years?
So Nate,
convicted?
Nate Newton actually got caught twice, and it was with bigger amounts. You're right. He had to serve 30 months.
30 months, yeah. So it's probably going to be something more along those lines. But still, the question, I mean, we're goofing on it a little bit because how can you not? But seriously, what was the goal here? Here's another weird thing to me, fellas. Here in Colorado, you can go and buy marijuana, like, you know, anywhere you want.
How about you buy your own dispensary? You could do something very legally in almost every state.
And
nowadays.
I heard the street value of this was like $300,000, which I'm not, you know, going to, you know, laugh at. But $300,000 that you're going to have to split?
Yeah, the idea that you destroy your reputation. The reputation of your college teammate and ruin your NFL career.
Ruin your life.
Over $300,000.
What? Really?
Of marijuana on the street value?
Can we go back to the funny part, but just about how dumb this is? Think about this for a second. You're transporting 157 pounds of marijuana.
Yeah.
If I was doing that, I would like buy, if you're trying to make that much money, I would like buy a car that was like custom made with hiding stuff.
What kind of vehicle was it?
It was a rental car.
It was.
Oh, right. It was a rental car.
It's like maybe a Chevy Tahoe or something like that.
Right.
I'm dang sure not bringing a third party into it.
Why was the Uber driver
you're
there?
Just, like, the best idea you could come up with was stuff it in some bags, like travel bags, and put it in the trunk. That's the best idea you could come up with.
Yeah, what was. How did they convince the Uber? Why? Like, why?
Because they offered him a certain amount of money to drive them from L.A. to Louisiana.
So the Uber driver doesn't, like, ask why? Just like, okay?
No, how much you paying me for? I mean, you give me $2,000 for that?
Oh, but why do they need the Uber driver?
Because they need, I mean, L.A. to Louisiana, that's a long drive.
So you can say we weren't driving, it wasn't ours.
Because they were going to pin it on him. He was going to be the guy?
That's right. We were just passengers.
Hey, we weren't driving. We just hired this guy to pick us up.
Just think about it. They had it in duffel bags.
They were going to hang him out to dry.
Yeah.
Wow. And then he wouldn't go along with it.
And he got off, and now both of those guys are now being held.
Am I not supposed to be laughing? Am I laughing too much?
No, it's a crazy story.
It's just greed and stupidity.
It's everything dumb. So there you go. When you thought you couldn't get marijuana, for marijuana, weed, like there's like we could throw a stone and hit six dispensaries like from our studio.
Go buy one of them.
He's trying to cut out the middleman.
You got $300,000.
That's what he's saying.
Go buy one of them.
I'm going to cut out the middleman and then I'm opening up my own dispensary.
I think something good happened for CU when they were about to make something bad happen. James Merrillat will be in and we'll discuss it next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
James Merrillat from 104.3thefan.com. He's presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. And James is all over the place on the morning show. Sort of sticking up for us because we, of course, were going to put your selections up there. I know the morning show is trying to bait you into conversation.
You know that he was like prime suspect number two in the attack on Tyler Plumbus.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, was it an attack or was it just, you know, questioning something you said and seeing if maybe we didn't agree with you? I don't know that attack is the right word.
But to be honest, I'm very confident that neither one of you understood the context of that article. And I don't know if you understand it now, that it was in reference to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I don't know if that changes your opinion at all.
I did ask the question of like, well, how are we defining average?
Yeah.
Right? You know, is that meaning he's going to be Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield? Like, what's average? So if you're talking about Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, if that's the standard.
You want to say sorry?
Sure, maybe he is going to be average.
You want to say sorry?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I got my picks up here, I'm in such a good mood.
Yeah. You do. Brandon Scherff.
I just had to get that out.
Logan Ryan, and Nick has Logan Ryan as well. Danny Trevathan. I have Danny Trevathan. Jordan Howard. A running back?
Yeah, I think the Broncos need to improve at that position.
Well, they just gave Jano more money, and he's Jano.
What up, Buffalo?
He's a fullback.
They're set at fullback.
Yeah.
But there's a running back.
I'm sorry.
1,000-yard rusher, 500 yards receiving. That would be a major upgrade.
And then this is going to get me into what I really want. Paul Richardson.
Yep.
wide receiver. Of course, CU greats. I'm looking at Alabama.com. Offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian removes his name from consideration to replace Midnight Mel Tucker. Sarkisian will reportedly get a raise, making him one of the nation's highest paid assistant coaches, which leads me to believe it pays more to be an assistant coach at Alabama than to be the head coach at the University of Colorado.
Well, I think it's partially that, and I think Steve Sarkisian's a little bit in the same boat as Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy's going to be an NFL head coach in 2021. Look, Alabama's going to be good again this year. Steve Sarkisian's the offensive coordinator there. He's going to be up for a lot of jobs when they come open. Does he need to jump at the CU gig? So I think he can afford to be patient, and he got a pay raise out of it. I think it's a little bit of that, too.
I think CU dodged a bullet. When I saw they were barreling down the path of another SEC coordinator, to me, it's like, wow,
this is
exactly what just happened, and why would we expect any kind of different result?
You know what? Yeah, I guess to a degree, but I was pulling for Sark. That felt good. Like that was kind of like exciting. It was kind of, I gotta admit it, like, okay,
you guys got the home run stuff.
I could easily be excited about Troy Calhoun. I could find things for sure, but Sark was like, man, there's some stuff.
I'm 100% with you. And here's the thing. I like going and getting an assistant coach from a Power 5 conference. They've been recruiting in those kind of living rooms,
right?
So, like, Mel Tucker didn't work out, but just because you dated a girl who turned out to be a flake, you don't just stop, you know, asking people out.
And the other part of it is everybody's like, okay, you're going to go back to the SEC, and you're going to let the guy leave after 3 years? And I'm like,
yeah,
fine. You don't have to ask her out,
but you don't start dating her sister.
Hold on, but listen, I mean, what just happened with Mel Tucker, that is so unusual that a guy actually gets a promotion after a bad season. Like, that's not normal,
but
right?
Normally that would mean that the
coach came in. If Sark came in, he would dominate for 3 years. And I'd be like, all right, well, at least we got three awesome years.
That would be a great thing. If they won 7 games, 8 games, 10 games, and he left, awesome. Then you're hiring somebody and you're a destination school again. Like, we need to be a stepping stone.
Yeah, but what does that say about CU? Though?
I don't know about the
CU, though,
because like you didn't have to say that out loud.
It's not one of those sexy jobs when you ask other coaches from around the league. And looking at what Sarkisian just did, he went back to Alabama and he got a boost in pay because guess what? It's not that sexy job.
Well, if Steve Sarkisian takes the job, I think it does show that it's a sexy job.
You just said, we need to be a stepping stone.
They do.
What happened to the timid and the weak and the shoulder to shoulder?
It's a reality check. This program has been a graveyard for coaches for 20 years. The last four are out of work, working at UC Davis, working at Memphis, the position coach in the NFL. Like, prior to Mel Tucker, he's the only one to leave here and land on his feet and get a better job. You have to have the reality check of, stepping stone for now. Again, if Sarkisian came in, won 7, 8, and 10, and then you go hire somebody else after a 10-win season, great.
If that's the case, they might as well hire Troy Calhoun, because here's a guy who has staying power, and he's not looking for the next big job.
I'm having a hard time with the word stepping stone, saying that like into a microphone, so I'm not going to exactly agree exactly, other than to say I agree without the stepping stone part.
Okay, you don't like the term, but that's the reality of the situation. Look, I like Troy Calhoun's a great football coach. To win 11 games at Air Force is amazing. And if he gets the job, X's and O's wise, running a program that is buttoned up, like I have all the confidence in that in the world. But he's been recruiting a distinctly different type of athlete
for
the last decade.
Hey, like, when you have a conversation with a smart kid versus like the best athlete,
it concerns me.
You recruit him differently. You know.
So wait, Sark's out. You don't like Calhoun.
I didn't say that.
I wouldn't say that. It's the conservative hire, and to me, hiring a guy, to Nick's point, because you think he'll stick around. I don't think that's the right way.
What's going on? Are we going to hear news later today about a new hire at CU?
I think so. Yes.
Me too.
It really feels like the movement is strong, that today is the day. I've talked to a lot of people. And I will say this. The news is tight-lipped around there. It is amazing how tight-lipped it is. Usually, like, reports start to trickle out by now when an offer is on the table of who the guy is. They are not talking.
So there's only two candidates right now, Brett Bielema and Troy Calhoun. So if by the end of the day...
That we know of.
Eric Bieniemy, he's still
in the mix?
Eric Bieniemy is not out of the mix. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so if you had to say
the
temperature meter, where would you put the temperature meter for Eric Bieniemy? Is that 90% or are we dealing at 60?
I don't know. I don't know how to guess right now. It is tight-lipped. I know that he's not out of the mix.
I think it's going to be Troy Calhoun. He's very much the Tad Boyle hire from a football standpoint.
Why would Troy want to do that?
Well, I mean, well, you know, at some point, you're limited in what you can accomplish at Air Force.
It's a new challenge in life. Yeah. It's a new challenge
in life. He's 53 years old. Like, how long are you going to continue to be at Air Force and do that?
Didn't he turn down an opportunity to, like, interview for the Broncos head job or something?
I think he's turned a lot of things down.
He had an opportunity to interview for the Broncos, and I think he turned it down.
That's the other part that worries me about it, though. When's the last Power 5 job opening that Troy Calhoun's name came up and was attached
to? Not many.
Well...
So I ask you this question. So at the end of the day, if it's not Troy and Brett Bielema is moved out of the way, what other coaches out there that you think will be in the pot for taking his job?
I think it personally, my gut is telling me it's down to EB or Troy. And my gut would tell me that they still would love for it to be EB. I don't know that. That is my opinion.
I would take Troy Calhoun over Eric Bieniemy in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
All right. Well... You guys. I got a song for you.
Stepping Stone.
Turn it up a little bit, Kevin.
Sit down. I am not a stepping stone.
See you. What is it all about?
I am not just a stepping stone.
That's a stepping stone.
Reality check. I'm fine with that.
Not as big as you thought you were.
Quote from James Merrillet. I hope I see it on 1043thefan.com. See you. What year did you graduate?
1996.
We need to be a stepping stone.
That's correct. For now.
That's James Merrillet, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Go to 1043thefan.com to read about whatever James is talking. Anything cool? Lots of stuff.
We got all our free agency previews. Brandon Scherff, my number one guy.
There you go.
He's on the list today. We review the guards, so check it out.
Reviewing the guards.
Yeah, fun writing. Tell you what.
When we come back, the CBA, it's locked in terms of the owners. Will the players go for it? That's next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.